The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
David, you wanted to start buying rentals, but you didn't have any money. How did you get started?
Yeah, well, you know, so I bought my first house when we were both students, and we were looking for rentals, and we came across a house that had a main house and a guest house, which was a converted garage. But the guest house we rented out to some friends of ours, and that paid about 40% of the mortgage. And that allowed us to buy the house and live there comfortably. And it was close to the university. I still own that house. And then my next house had a main house, guest house, and we moved up into a nicer neighborhood, nicer house, and our cost of living went down because now I had three tenants. And that's when I realized the power of real estate.
David doesn't like to take a lot of risks. He considers himself to be a pretty conservative guy, but he's managed to go from doing a couple of house hacks to building a rental portfolio that nets him $5,000 a month after he pays all of his expenses. So on the show today, we're going to figure out how he did it. Joining us on the show today from Albuquerque is David Safford. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to David. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market, but it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com. David, why don't we start off talking about your portfolio? You have a couple of different types of properties. Can you just explain to us what your portfolio looks like?
Sure. So I started out doing the main house, guest house thing and keeping the homes that I was living in because I could, you know, put less money down and get owner occupant rates. And so I've kept quite a few homes that I've lived in. We moved every few years at the beginning. So that's my main thing. I think I have a total of today 21 properties, and I'm buying two more next week. So they are mostly single family homes with guest houses. That's kind of my main niche. I think about 8 or 9 of them are that. And then I have a couple of multifamily, triplex and fourplex. And then I have a couple of condos. And so it's kind of a mix of things that I have that I've slowly built up, just buying, you know, one every other year at the beginning, and then slowly more to one where I got to the point where I could buy, you know, one each year. And now I'm picking up more like 2 a year. So it's just a matter of persistence and keeping the goal to add properties to my portfolio to where, you know, 21 is not huge, but, you know, we can talk more about the power of just even a portfolio that big.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's really awesome that you never went crazy. It doesn't sound like you took a lot of big risks. It was just buying properties as you found them, right?
Yep. And yeah. And I had a, you know, at first at that point in time, I had a regular job and I wanted my wife to be able to stay home once we were having kids. And that's really what kind of drove me. But I'm not a big risk taker. People think real estate people have to take huge risks. And, you know, even though I do flip houses and I do buy rentals, it's a very calculated risk. And for me, being fiscally conservative, I think it's been very safe. So it's, you know, it's as with anything financial, you know, you just have to be sort of, you know, stick to the plan and slowly but surely push forward. And that's really what I did. And I don't think I took big risks. And I think I'm in a position now where, you know, it's, I can see the power of it and see how it's working.
So tell me about the neighborhoods that your properties are in. Are they like B neighborhoods or C neighborhoods?
Some of them are. It depends. I have purchased a few. You know, some of the ways that I get my properties is that, you know, I've bought a few out of MLS. I've bought a number of them that I lived in. And then I've purchased some from distressed sellers where, you know, I'm talking to wholesalers and I'm looking at them for potential flips and the flip numbers don't work, but they do work for rentals. And so there's a few in some in neighborhoods that, you know, are a little more challenging, have a little more turnover and transiency. But for the most part, they're in, you know, solid, what I'd call kind of blue collar, solid neighborhoods that, you know, I have good tenants. A lot of them are near the university.
So let's take a look at your numbers. How much profit do you make off your portfolio every month?
Well, from a cash flow perspective, you know, I'll kind of put things in some round numbers, but I have, you know, if we say that I've got 20 properties that each have an average cash flow of 200 a month, or no, actually about 250 a month, then that's, you know, 5,000 a month. And that is about what I net on my portfolio. So, some of those, you know, I'm making 1,000 a month and some of them I'm making 50 a month. But on average, it's about $250 a month cash flow. So it's about $5,000 a month cash flow.
Awesome. Now, when you look at your gross rents, like how much are you bringing in every month on average? I know you're going to have some vacancies some months. It's going to maybe fluctuate a little bit. But on average, how much do you bring in every month?
Yeah. So it's about $15,000 a month. And, you know, one thing that we hadn't talked about yet is that a couple of my properties, particularly one, is an Airbnb that generates a fair amount. So I'm not really adding that one in. I'm discussing averages, but and you probably have some podcasts specifically on Airbnb, but yeah. But the Airbnb option for main house guest house, and that's one of the reasons I like main house guest house, all the versatility of it. But in the end, I about $15,000 a month is okay. My gross rent revenue.
And then when you add up all of your mortgages, how much is your mortgage expense?
It's probably just a bit over 8,000.
8,000. Okay. So, and then you've got about 2,000 in repairs or just other utilities or other expenses that come up.
Yeah, I pay utilities for a couple of units and water for a few more. And then of course, yes, I do. Now I do the management myself because I do have a team, because I'm also a realtor and we also flip houses. So I do have a team that supports me and that manages the properties. But yes, I've got maintenance costs. For instance, you know, I just did a water heater yesterday. I didn't, but my plumber had to put a water heater in. That was $1,100. So, you know, some months there's none. We're lucky with this many properties, and then some months it's a little bigger. But yeah, on average, it's probably. Fits into that 1,000 to 1,500 a month.
Okay,
on maintenance.
So you all right? So 15,000 a month in gross rents. You have about 10,000 in expenses between your mortgages and any repairs, utilities, and then about $5,000 a month in cash flow.
Yep.
Awesome. Now, what's cool about rental properties is, you know, the cash flow, I think, is what we focus on a lot because that's something you can actually see every month. But, you're making money off your rentals in other ways too. Can we maybe walk through some of the other ways that you're really building wealth with rental properties?
Yeah, I love to talk about that because it's, there's four ways that you're going to benefit from rental properties. The first is cash flow that everybody thinks about and focuses on. But you also have, you know, the fact that your tenants are paying down your mortgage, which is amortization. And then you have appreciation because the values are going up, especially in today's environment. And then you have depreciation, which is, you know, your tax shelter. But if we can talk hard numbers on amortization and appreciation on my small, you know, portfolio, you can kind of get a sense for the power of real estate that I don't think people realize. And I'm excited about it because, you know, I'd like to retire in the next 10 years. And so even with just a 20, you know, property portfolio, let's look at my average value of property is, it's just over 200,000, but let's just say 200,000 to make it easy. So 20 properties times 200,000, that's a current average value of 4 million. And if we assume appreciation of only a modest 3%, which, you know, in the last 5 years, that would be tiny. You know, just in the last 2 years in Albuquerque, we've had, you know, 8 to 10% each year, but let's just say 3% because I like to be conservative. So that would be, you know, 4 million times 3% is $120,000.
Wow.
So every year, my value of my portfolio, or my net worth, if you will, at that point, because that's all net, it goes up $120,000.
And that's about and what then, you've seen, right? Like when you look back over the last 20 years, it's gone up about 3%. I know every market's different, and depending on where you're listening.
Yeah, every market's different, but in Albuquerque, you can kind of count on that. We're not a huge roller coaster market.
Yeah.
And I, you know, these are, some of these questions are prompting me to go back and look at that in a little more detail. But yes, it's a fair assumption to go, you know, even if you wanted to be more conservative and do 2%, you know, some markets 4%, but for me, 3% is a conservative estimate. So 120,000 a year on appreciation. And then my tenants are paying my mortgage. So we have to remember that, and, you know, every month on average, this is again on average of 20 unit portfolio, is some of my houses are going down, you know, 400 a month towards principal and interest, and some are 100 a month. It depends on how long I've owned it. But, and some of these I took over, you have to remember, on a real estate contract where the underlying mortgage was already 10, 15 years in. So, you know, on one of my small houses, it's going down 700 a month. And so, you know, that's the power too. So, but for me, it's about an average of 300 a month, per house. So 20 houses, my amortization, or how much gets paid down on my principal and interest every month on my 20 house portfolio, is about 6,000 a month. So times 12 months, that's 72,000 a year, is what about I'm paying down. So between the $72,000 a year amortization and the $120,000 a year on appreciation, that's $192,000 a year. And then we remember to add in the cash flow of 5,000 a month, that's 60,000. So you add 60 to 192, I'm at 252,000. So at a quarter million a year of increased net worth just by doing nothing from this point forward, other than, you know, obviously managing my properties. But, you know, I plan to add more properties to this portfolio and take some of the cash flow and pay off some of these houses.
Yeah, I mean, that is just so incredible when you think about that. You bought these properties and you had to put some work into finding the properties, and you've got some management stuff to do here and there, but you're making $250,000 a year with very little work. That is just incredible. You know, when you compare that to, so your day job is you're a realtor and you also flip houses. I mean, if you think how many hours you would have to put in to those other activities to make $250,000. It's mind-boggling.
It is. Yeah. And think about this this is where it gets exciting. And I just had my head down and was adding properties early on, you know, working at night after I got off of work and, you know, figuring out how to do these things. But the real beauty in it is seeing how the amortization gets bigger every month. So remember, you know, because of the amortization curve, every month that I own this property, I pay more towards principal and interest. So if right now it's 6,000, you know, that next year it's going to be they all add up a little bit. It's going to be 7,000, and the next year it's going to be 8,000. And so, you know, 4 years from now, it's going to be 10,000 each month. So it's going to be it's going to be 120,000 just on amortization per month. So, right. So every year I'm no longer doing anything to add that, that's the power of financial math, it's a compounding effect. And so every year that I wouldn't really honestly have to do anything more. And this portfolio will grow, if it's 250 a year right now, in 4 years, that's going to be 1 million. In 8 years, that's going to be 2 million. But in reality, it's subject, of course, to appreciation, but it's also that amortization is going to be growing. So even if appreciation subsides a little bit, my amortization schedule is locked in because it's what it is to pay off a mortgage. So
now, a big part of you being able to buy $4 million worth of rental properties was the use of mortgages through getting loans. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to come up with $4 million cash to do this. But you mentioned that you want to use some of the money to pay down your mortgages. Why do that? Where it seems like because of the mortgages, you're able to build all this wealth. Like, why do you want to get rid of them?
Right. Well, there's modes of your career in your life that you are mostly looking to either maximize cash flow or build so that you have later cash flow that's more passive. And that's really what I've done. There's been times where, I was able to buy my second house or one of my, I was able to start flipping houses with that very first house I bought. I was able to, in 2005, pull out a line of credit of $110,000 on it. And that is what kind of allowed me to give me a little bit of operating cash. But when I look at paying things off now, I still have school age kids, so I'm not going to take $5,000 a month and be paying that off. But what I am going to do is target which ones I want have the highest interest rate, although they all have locked low interest rates, and pay that off so that in 5 or 6 years from now, which is when I have a target to retire, that I then am set up to have more cash flow by eliminating some of these mortgages. So really, that's for me, it's okay. If I can eliminate some of these mortgages, then I will have a larger cash flow so that I don't have to work as much every day. And so I can really essentially retire. So it's a matter of timing. But you're right. I the mortgages and the leverage has given me the ability to buy this many.
Yeah. And then it's pretty cool. I mean, when you think about it, it's the rents that are paying off your mortgages. So, and that's going to give you the cash flow that's going to enable you to retire. So it's just a matter of getting this machine up and running that's generating cash every month that's able to generate you more cash going forward. So
exactly.
Do you have a goal like on how much cash flow you want to get to when you retire?
Yes, I would like to. So for me, I would like to have, a net worth of $3 million, half a million of that in cash, and $15,000 a month net income from my rentals.
Okay, awesome. And you said about 5 years that you want to be there within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'd like my youngest daughter would go to college in 5.5 years, and I'd like to be able to take her to school and continue traveling from there.
Wow. That's great.
That's my dream.
That is really awesome. Now I want to hear more about your property. So you say you have a main house and a guest house. So I'm picturing like a single family house with like a cottage in the backyard. Is that what the properties are like?
That's what a number of them are like. In New Mexico, we call them casitas, and they can be a converted garage, which is probably 4 or 5 of mine. Sometimes it's part of the house that's kind of sectioned off or added off. It's almost like, some people would call them mother-in-law quarters, but Right now, those are very popular just because partly because of, you know, COVID affecting things to where people are working at home. They need a home office. They need a studio or some people are looking for art studios or they want they have a college student that would rather have their own space or maybe a lot of because of demographics. There's, you know, the baby boomers are getting older. And so there's a lot of multi-generational living happening. And so it's very popular, but also Airbnb, right? Everybody is doing Airbnb now. So it gives you the option to buy a house. I looked at one last night with a customer, you know, the house is $450. The main house is very nice. It's right by the university here. And she was looking at the guest house, and the guest house, we figured she could rent for about $1,100. And so we added it all up and her mortgage was going to be about $2,000. And if she could get $1,100 out of the back house, she could live in the main house for $900. But she was thinking she could rent the main house for $2,000 and live in the guest house because it was a pretty nice little guest house in a nice neighborhood. And this is a single woman. So it was then she could be living free from the first day she bought it.
Right.
She's buying an owner occupant and she would move into the guest house, rent the main house and have no mortgage really. They'd be covering her mortgage. So that's
awesome.
Just one example.
Yeah. It's almost like a duplex kind of, but it's a single family house. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
Yes. And it's a little niche that I've focused on and I've also gotten some for some of my clients because not everybody thinks about it that way. So when they're being valued, they're sort of valued on the main house or they're valued on this dollar per square foot and not really on the rental value. And so for instance, I bought one about 3 years ago on a real estate contract from a distressed seller and the underlying mortgage was, let's see, I think it's now down to around 89,000. I bought it. I just took over the mortgage and gave him 15,000. I bought it and the mortgage is 500 a month and it has a main house and a little guest house. This one's a little rougher neighborhood, but I get 1100 for the main house, 500 for the guest house. So that's 1600 a month rent and the mortgage is 500 and I did have to put about $25,000 into it, but it's probably worth about $150,000 now. So there you go. 4 years, I now have a net equity of probably $60,000, although I did spend, $45,000. I'm sorry, I'm doing numbers quick. But probably a $15,000 or $20,000 net equity and $1,000 a month.
Well, that sounds pretty good. If anybody is in Albuquerque or if you are interested in investing in Albuquerque, David is a full-time realtor. He works with a lot of investors, and he'd be happy to connect with you and talk to you about Albuquerque if that is something that you are interested in. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode313. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chaley is a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. We'll be back with a new episode on Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
All treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically, so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.